Now, in our studies, we began actually back on Easter Sunday. We began looking at the things that God does not withhold from us. And, of course, we started out looking at the command that God had given to Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him on an altar as a sacrifice to God. And Abraham obeyed God and took his son there on the mountain that God had showed him, prepared to take his son's life. And God sent an angel to stop him. And here's what he said: do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And from there we were talking about the fact that John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus approaching, pointed out to him and said, behold, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. That God did not withhold His only Son from us. And the fact that He did that is why you and I are here today as saved people, people that belong to God through the blood of His Son, whom He did not withhold. But going from there, what we've been doing is talking about some other things that the Bible indicates to us that God does not withhold from us. He freely gives these blessings to us. And we were talking about grace, the fact that God does not withhold grace from us, that we don't get what we deserve, which is punishment, eternal death and separation from God. Instead, we get eternal life through God's grace because He refuses to withhold that grace from us. We talked about the fact that God does not withhold His Holy Spirit from us. That He gives us His Spirit to live and to dwell within us and to guide us each day in our daily walk in life. We talked about last time that God does not withhold the victory from us, that we look forward to the victory that God gives us each day of our lives as we walk again in this daily life, that God gives us victory, that we have overcome the world and all the pressures that the world gives. We overcome that on a daily basis because of what He has done, but also we have the eternal victory in Christ Jesus, that we have to look forward our home in heaven because God does not and will not withhold the victory from us. So this morning, we're going to finish this series of lessons talking about that God does not withhold from us the strength for those who are weary. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you ever get weary from time to time? Okay, all right. I think just about everybody's hand is up. Some of you just got so much energy, you never get weary, you never get tired. Great for you. Share with us your formula. But most of us, we get weary from time to time. We get worn out. And how about moms? Moms, today's your day. You get weary. You love those kids, but you still get weary and wore out, don't you? Even when the kids are grown up, right? You say, you still get weary, you still get kind of worn out. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning what we're focusing on today is the fact that God does not withhold from us His strength when we find ourselves being weary and worn out and just struggling. Let's go back and look at the text that was read for us as we began this morning. From Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know, Isaiah says, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Now just stop for a second and let that statement sink in to your heart and your mind. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. All right? And then look at what it says next. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Verse 29. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, here's one of the things that we want to do. Before we can truly, properly understand what Isaiah is writing in verses 28 through 31, we need to understand the background of Isaiah chapter 40, all right? So what we need to understand is that Isaiah is prophesying at a time, he's prophesying about the return from their captivity of the Israelite nation. Isaiah prophesied about that they were going to be taken into captivity, and then he prophesied about the fact that they're going to return. Okay? They've been in captivity, Isaiah makes clear to them, because of their disobedience to God. So all of the time that they're in captivity, basically what goes on is that, we're having trouble with this clicker this morning. They're basically getting tired and weary from their experience of being in captivity to the point where they are feeling as people that God has abandoned them. Now, isn't that kind of ironic? Because the reason, again, they were in captivity to begin with is because they abandoned God and His laws, okay? But now they've been in captivity for all this time, and they're weary and they're tired, and they're calling out to God thinking that God doesn't care about them, that He has abandoned them. We go back to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, and look at how Isaiah begins this chapter. Comfort. Yes, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So in other words, Isaiah is letting the Israelite people know, okay, God's anger against you has subsided. You have been punished enough in God's eyes, and He is ready now to take you home. Right? In verses 3 through 5, Isaiah goes on to say, a voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, what is Isaiah saying in this particular part of chapter 40? He's talking here about what the practice was, okay, back then, when a king would be traveling across a certain area of the country. There were those who would go before him, and they would literally smooth out the path for the king. They would make a road, so to speak, for the king, so that as the king was traveling, that he didn't have to go, you know, up and down all these steep hills, and he didn't have to be bumpy roads and all those kind of things. In other words, they're going and making a path that was smooth for the king to travel on. What Isaiah is doing here is giving a picture. This is not the Israelites just who are returning from captivity, but the picture is one of God, who is their king, who is leading them home on this path. And so this call to flatten out the hills and the mountains and smooth out the rough places, why? Because the king is coming, and he's bringing you home. It's interesting that John the Baptist in Luke, referring to himself about Jesus, quotes this passage from Isaiah. And he says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. So, John the Baptist applies what Isaiah said about the Israelite people way back then. He applies that to you and I following Jesus Christ in our lives on our way home. Okay? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right? So that is the background of what Isaiah has to say in verses 28 through 31. The people are weary, they're tired from their years in captivity. They're repentant of their sin. Now it's time for them to go home. Let's talk about getting tired. All right? We need to understand that God doesn't ever get tired or weary. Let's think about the idea, when you think about tired and getting old and tired, maybe this is one of the pictures that you have in your mind of that. We get old and it's kind of hard to move around, and not only do we kind of get old and hard, it's hard to move around and walk and so forth, but then there is all of those aches and pains that we begin to feel. And the older we get, the more of them we find. Isn't that right? Those of us who are older, I keep finding more of them all the time. Okay? But not only do we feel all the aches and pains as we get old, but then there's that memory thing. Trying to remember everything that's gone on and what we're doing. Yesterday, Cindy and I were trying to get things together for the just to go out for our trailer to sell our barbecue and all, and I couldn't find the little data card that we have that we need to run our cash register stuff. And I looked everywhere three or four times. I could not find it. I was getting so frustrated. And then finally, I had to move my car out of the way so I could hook up the trailer. And I got in my car, and all of a sudden, it came to me. I think that thing is here in the car. And I started looking, and there it was, sitting right there. But the bad thing was I couldn't remember for a few minutes why it was in the car. It didn't belong there. And after I thought about it for another moment or two, then I remembered I had taken it out of the box that we keep it in and took it with me last Monday because I was going to use it for a place I was going to be where I needed to have my computer. But I had totally forgotten all of that. So, you know, that's what happens when we get old, doesn't it? How does that image of, you know, being old and so forth affect our view or our image of God? You see, I think that this picture is how a lot of people view God. He's an old man. He's been around since when? Since the beginning of time, okay? I mean, surely he must have white hair and have a long beard, and he probably has some aches and pains every now and then, and he doesn't remember everything, right? That's kind of how a lot of people picture God. I mean, again, after all, he's been around for all these thousands of years. He must be old, right? But the realization is that, no, God is not old. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get worn out. And he doesn't forget. Okay? God never forgets. I want you to keep that in your mind because our next series of lessons that we're going to talk about, we're going to begin not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, is going to have a lot to do with the fact that God doesn't ever forget. Okay? So he never forgets anything because he's not just an old, old God that's sitting up in heaven waiting for things to happen. He is the God of the universe. Again, let's go back and look at our passage. A couple of significant statements here. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He will never wear out. He will never grow tired. He will last forever. Okay? And notice that it says here, he will not grow tired or weary. Why is that? Why can God have existed for all of this time and never grow old or weary? Well, it is because God is timeless. He is an eternal being. God does not age physically because he is a spiritual being. So all of these pictures that we have in our mind of God being this old man with white hair and a long white beard, just throw those out. I don't know what God looks like, but I don't think it's that. Okay? Because God is timeless. He has a spiritual body. What does it look like? I don't know. We've talked about that before. We're going to have a spiritual body when we leave this world. What's it going to look like? I don't know. It'll look like his. But it won't look like that picture that we had up there. You See? Because He is timeless. He does not age like we do in this physical world that we live in. And He does not get tired. He does not grow weary at all. The writer of Hebrews says this about Jesus. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Right? In fact, not only does God not grow old, and He doesn't get tired or weary, but He is the, look at this, the source of strength for those who are weary. That's what Isaiah says in verse 29, okay? He gives strength to the weary. He is the source of our strength. We get weary and tired. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But He is the source of that, all right? So, God doesn't get tired or weary. That's the first thing I want you to understand from what Isaiah is saying. He never grows tired. He never gets worn out. He never has to sit back and put His feet up in His easy chair and take a break. Because He's not like us. All right? So He doesn't, but we do. Whoa. We're having all kinds of problems with this thing. Brian, can you take me back a couple of slides here? We got to go the other way. Okay. All right, we're the ones who get tired and worn out. Again, go back to what Isaiah says. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Now, you know, we typically, when we think about young people, we got a lot of young people in here. They get tired after they've been running all around, but then how long does it take for them to get recharged and up and they're running all around again? I don't know about you, but when I'm watching my grandchildren, I get tired watching them play. They've got so much energy, okay? But even they get tired. Even they get weary. Young people do. Okay? Another translation says it this way. Even young people get tired and then stumble and fall. That's a part of us being physical beings. We just get tired and worn out and weary from time to time. And here's some ways that I really want you to think about that we get tired and weary and worn out. It's physical, certainly. But it's also mentally we get tired and worn out, don't we? And emotionally and even spiritually, we get tired, we get worn out. And that's the nature of the world that we live in and the life that we live in this world. We're going to get tired and worn out and weary. I don't mind admitting to you that I do. I go through these things. I get tired sometimes mentally. I'm just exhausted. And there are times when emotionally I'm plumb wore out. And certainly physically, I realize physically I can't do the things that I used to be able to do. You know, we say used to could. I used to could do a lot of things I can't anymore. Okay? Because physically, my body just won't let me do it. And spiritually, yes, there are some times when I just get tired. I get wore out. That's the nature of the world that we live in. It's a result of a lot of the spiritual warfare that we have to engage in with Satan on a daily basis. Because his role is to try to get us to be so worn out that we just give up. And that's what he wants to do. That's what happens so often when people become overly weary and tired. We just give up. So we do that. And part of the problem, I think, that we have is that we feel, especially the younger that people are, they feel like they're invincible. Okay? Nothing's going to happen to me. But the reality is we're not invincible. We're weak. And we need to understand that, and we need to admit it, that we are weak. We need to admit it not only to ourselves but to God. We are weak. And God is not the one who gets tired and weary and so that He needs our help. I mean, who of us can help God? None of us. But again, the truth is we get tired and weary, and we need God's strength. And that's what He promises to give us. And that's one of the things that He refuses to withhold from us, is the strength that we need when we are weary. And so we come to the last part of this passage from Isaiah, where he talks about soaring like eagles. Okay? So we're tired, we're weary, we're worn out, but look at what he says here. Those who, and a key word in this passage is wait. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How's that sound to you? When you are tired, when you are worn out, when you are weary, God is saying to you, just wait. Just wait, because I'm going to restore your strength. What about that word wait? Why is it so important that we understand it? Well, the word wait in the Hebrew language, okay, is used in this way. It is a sense of expecting something. So it's not just kind of sitting back and waiting and wondering if anything is going to happen. It is sitting back and waiting, expecting something to happen. And by the way, that is God's something to happen. Okay? When we're talking about waiting on the Lord, in other words, in the Scriptures, to wait on Jehovah meant to wait for His help with all the faith that God is going to provide it. Okay? Wait, he says. Those who wait upon the Lord, expecting God to provide what they need. Notice what he says. Here's the promise. To those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there it is. That's the promise. You wait upon the Lord. When you're weary, when you're worn out, when you're tired, the answer is wait. Wait. Wait upon the Lord, expecting Him to do what? To renew your strength. Okay? And it's not just any strength. The promise is they will soar on wings of eagles. What does that really mean? In other words, to the Hebrews who first read this from Isaiah, how would they have understood this? You and I need to understand it the same way. To be able to say they're going to soar like wings of eagles, they would have understood it this way. First of all, it denotes the strength of an eagle. The eagle is the most majestic bird that there is. And the strength that it has is just amazing. So it's that strength that is attributed to those who wait upon the Lord. Remember, he said he will renew their strength. What kind of strength? The strength like an eagle has. Not only that, but they would have understood it this way, that it refers to this idea of an elevation above the world and its struggles. And when you're plumb wore out, isn't that what we really need? To be able to just kind of be lifted above all the chaos and all the garbage and all the frustration and all of everything that you're facing at that time. And that's part of this visualization. To be lifted up on wings of eagles, to be carried above all of that stuff. Not only to be carried above it, but then also communion with God in nearness to Him and to His throne. In other words, soaring to new heights. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When you're struggling, when you're wore out, when you're weary, and you feel like you just can't go on, that you wait upon the Lord and He's going to lift you up and draw you closer to Him. What an amazing promise, an amazing picture that God gives to us, that He will not withhold His strength from us when we need it, but rather will not just give us strength, but will give us this kind of strength to lift us up above all the garbage that we're facing and to draw us closer to Him. In chapter 41 and verse 10, Isaiah goes on to say this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That is a promise from God. Okay? A promise from God. So, fear not. Because He will give you the strength that you need. Jesus invites us to come to Him when we are tired and heavy laden. And His promise is, "I will give you rest." He just says, "Come to me. Come to me. And you will find rest," He says, "for your souls." But how do we do that? We finish up this morning. How do we wait upon the Lord? Since waiting is the key word in that passage, how do we do that? Well, here's a suggestion to you. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says this, "Let us, first of all, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter," or the word there literally means finisher, "of our faith. For who the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then look at what he says. "Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men." Why? Why should we focus on Him, fix our eyes on Him, and consider Him? "So that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So how do we wait? We wait by fixing our eyes on Jesus, so that we don't grow so weary that we just give up, losing heart. The Apostle Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest," notice this, "if we do not give up." Satan wants us to get so tired, as I mentioned before, so weary that we just give up. But the encouragement from the Lord is, don't give up. Wait. Wait on the Lord's strength to lift you up and carry you through. And He will give you rest when you are weary. We've been talking about, through this whole series of lessons, the fact that no good thing does God withhold, the psalmist says, from those who walk uprightly. God's promise to those who belong to Him, who are striving each day to walk uprightly in His Word, God will not withhold any of these things from us. So, it's all about learning to wait upon the Lord. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song, and we're going to stand together in just a moment and sing that song. The Lord's invitation is open. And it may be that there's stuff that you've been getting worn out about in your life. Maybe you're weary, maybe you're worn out, maybe you're just tired and you need some strength from the Lord. Now is a time for you to wait upon Him, for Him to give you the strength that He has for you to restore you to where He wants you to be. If that's what's going on in your life, now's a great time to let us know that. Let us lift you up and pray with you and for you so that you can find that strength from the Lord. If there's something else going on in your life you need help with, or some maybe some Bible teaching, some encouragement, guidance, whatever it is, we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this opportunity for anyone to come. And for those, if there's anyone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, you need to understand that you're separated from Him by your sins. And you will remain so until you give your life to Christ. The great news is that if you're ready to make a commitment, you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. We've got water ready right behind me. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Ray and Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either of them back there, and Jerry and I will be up front to receive anyone that would like to respond. Let's stand together and sing.